You are listening to Craftsteading.
Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, welcome aboard. I'm here to help you save money, get happy, relax, and find your creativity by making stuff out of plants you grow, forage, or buy, and even monetize your hobbies. When you think of plants that are associated with Christmas, what do you think of first? For most people, it's the Christmas tree that probably comes to mind. Evergreen plants have traditionally been used to celebrate winter festivals, both pagan and Christian, for thousands of years. Evergreen plants seemed to symbolize the power of life over death, because in the dead of winter they were still in leaf. People used to decorate their homes with evergreen branches during the winter solstice as a sign of the promise of spring. The use of evergreen trees, wreaths, and garlands to symbolize eternal life was a custom of the ancient Egyptians, Chinese, and Hebrews. The tradition of Christmas trees probably began with the ancient Romans. They had an annual feast called Saturnalia, which they celebrated in December. They would bring evergreen trees into their temples. Saturnalia involved a lot of feasting, wine drinking, and the exchanging of gifts. As often happens when a new religion enters a society, Saturnalian traditions became incorporated into Christmas. Tree worship was common among the pagan Europeans. It blended into the Scandinavian conversion to Christianity, with their custom of decorating the house and barn with evergreen branches at New Year to ward off the devil. In Germany and other countries, people used to put a Yule tree at their front door or inside their house during the midwinter season. Yule is the name of the old winter solstice festivals in Scandinavia and other parts of Northern Europe, such as Germany. It's impossible to pinpoint the date when evergreen trees were first used as Christmas trees. It probably began about a millennium ago in Europe. During the 15th and 16th centuries, the Holy Roman Empire was located in Western and Central Europe and included parts of what is now France, Italy, and Germany. In those days, the main prop of a religious play about Adam and Eve was a paradise tree, an evergreen tree decorated with apples, symbolizing the Garden of Eden. In Germany, people brought a paradise tree into their homes on December the 24th, the feast day of Adam and Eve. Across many regions of Northern Europe, people used cherry or hawthorn plants or branches as potted indoor Christmas trees. If they couldn't obtain a plant, they sometimes made pyramids of wood to look like a tree, decorated with paper, apples, and candles. Year by year, people added more decorations to the paradise tree, such as communion wafers, cherries, and pastry decorations of stars, bells, angels, etc. In the 16th century, lighted candles were added to the boughs, and the tree gained a new name, the Christbaum or Christ tree. German-born Prince Albert, Queen Victoria's consort, is usually said to have introduced the Christmas tree into Britain in 1840. In reality, back in December 1800, it was George III's German wife, Queen Charlotte, who brought the first Christmas tree to England.
Merry Christmas! Ho, 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 ho.
These days, the Christmas tree can be a completely secular symbol of Christmas celebrations. The tradition is so popular that it has spread around the globe. In the Southern Hemisphere, where December brings hot weather, people still bring evergreen trees into their homes and decorate them and lay gifts at their feet. Some people even take their Christmas tree to the beach with them on a hot day and plant it in the sand. I'm going to talk about five species of trees that are commonly used as Christmas trees. These days, Christmas trees are usually species of evergreen coniferous trees in the pine family, Pinaceae. In this family are cone-bearing trees or shrubs such as cedars, firs, hemlocks, larches, pines, and spruces. The genera that include popular Christmas tree species are Abies, Picea, Pseudotsuga, and Pinus. You can grow these evergreen Christmas trees in your garden, but make sure you have plenty of space. Mature trees can be truly enormous. Silver fir, Abies alba. The silver fir, native to the mountains of Europe, has edible, medicinal, and many other uses besides being used as a Christmas tree. It's the species that Hans Christian Andersen wrote about in his famous fairy tale, The Little Fir Tree. In bygone days, the silver fir was popular in Britain as a Christmas tree, but these days people frequently prefer the Norway spruce, Picea abies, or the Nordman fir, Abies nordmanniana, because of their denser foliage. The Nordman fir has no alternative uses that I know of, except as a poor quality wood that can be pulped. The silver fir, by contrast, has many. You can actually eat the inner bark if you cook it first. You can dry it, grind it into a powder, and thicken soups with it, or mix it with flour for bread making. Its branches, including the leaves, bark, and wood, were used to make spruce beer. This is a beverage flavoured with the buds, needles, or essence of spruce trees. It can be either alcoholic or non-alcoholic, and it was probably invented by the indigenous peoples of North America, who used it as a cure for the vitamin C deficiency called scurvy during the winter months when fresh fruit was unavailable. The fresh shoots of many spruces and pines are a good source of vitamin C. It is thought that Scandinavian peoples might also have brewed it in bygone days. Spruce-based beverages can have a range of flavours depending on which tree species are used, what season the foliage is picked, and how the beer is made. Flavours include floral, citrus, fruity, and piney. When silver fir trees are around 60 to 80 years old, people tap resin from them in the spring when the sap rises, and they distill an essential oil from it. Another essential oil extracted from the leaves has disinfectant properties. It's used in medicine and perfumery. Have you ever smelled the clean, piney fragrance of pine tar shampoo? Silver fir leaf oil is a common ingredient in many bath products. The following information on medicinal uses of Christmas trees is intended for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for accurate diagnosis and treatment by a qualified healthcare professional. Silver fir buds, bark, leaves, and resin have been used in traditional medicine. The Plants for a Future website says, both the leaves and the resin are common ingredients in remedies for colds and coughs, either taken internally or used as an inhalant. The resin is also used externally in bath extracts, rubbing oils, etc., for treating rheumatic pains and neuralgia. Oil of turpentine, which is obtained from the trunk of the tree, is occasionally used instead of the leaves or the resin. Turpentine. I use turpentine to clean my paintbrushes when I've been using oil-based paints. It's a fantastic oil paint solvent, among other uses. Bottles of terps are a common sight on the shelves of hardware stores. A solution of turpentine and beeswax or carnauba wax has long been used as a furniture wax. Have you ever wondered where turpentine comes from? It's a liquid that you get by distilling the resin harvested from living trees, mainly pines. People make V-shaped cuts in the bark and allow the sap, which at this point is called oleoresin, to drip into containers. It's like harvesting maple tree sap to make maple syrup, or latex from rubber trees to make natural rubber. If you pour oleoresin into a copper still and steam distill it, the turpentine rises out and can be collected and bottled. What's left behind is something called rosin, which is also incredibly useful. The list of its uses is too long to include here. I suggest you look it up on Wikipedia. Suffice to say that violinists love the stuff, as do ballet dancers, gymnasts, baseball players, weightlifters, printers, pharmacists and fine artists. You can even use rosin to cook delicious rosin potatoes. Pitch, also called pitch tar, can also be obtained from pine resin. It's used for waterproofing or as a wood preservative. You can make your own pine sap products, such as pine pitch glue, at home or when you're out in the wilderness. Here's another obscure fact. One of the earliest sources of turpentine was the terebinth or turpentine tree, Pistacia terebinthus, a Mediterranean tree related to the pistachio nut tree, who would have guessed? Adding to your store of unusual facts, different turpentines even have different names. Canada balsam, also called Canada turpentine or balsam of fir, comes from the balsam fir. Venice turpentine is produced from larch trees. You should never drink turps because it's toxic, but people have been known to rub it on abrasions and wounds. They've also used it as a treatment for lice or as a chest rub when they've got a cold. Manufacturers also add turps to many cleaning and sanitary products because of its antiseptic properties and its so-called clean smell. Back to the topic of silver fir. The resin extracted from silver fir, known as Strasbourg turpentine, is used in perfumery, medicine, for caulking ships, and as a paint solvent. Silver fir rosin oil is used in making varnishes, lacquers, and carbon black for pigments and ink. Silver fir products can be used in the production of lacquer, paint, resin, and tannin. The timber is used for construction, furniture, plywood, pulpwood, and paper manufacture. The ancient Romans used to use the wood, because of its lightness, to make casks for the storage and transport of wine and other goods. The trees love to grow where there's plenty of water and shelter from the wind. Veitch fir, Abies veitchii. The veitch fir is native to Japan. It's in the same genus as the silver fir, and apart from being a nice Christmas tree, it attracts wildlife, provides perches and probably food for birds, gives shade in summer, and has lovely strong timber for woodworking. Norway spruce, Picea abies. The catkins, inner bark, cones and seed of the Norway spruce are edible. You can eat the young catkins raw or cooked, or use them as flavouring. Take out the central part of the cones when they're young and roast them. They're said to be sweet and syrupy. As with silver fir, you can dry the inner bark of Norway spruce and grind it into a powder. Then use it as a soup thickener or a flour additive, though it may lack flavour and is probably only a famine food. You can steep the young leaf tips in hot water and make a nutritious tea. People also use the young shoot tips to make spruce beer. Again, like silver fir, the Norway spruce was often used in traditional medicine, and indeed, the buds, leaves, sap, and resin have useful medicinal properties. According to the Plants for a Future website, the Norway spruce is a source of pitch, burgundy pitch, and turpentine, dura turpentine. Burgundy pitch is used as a varnish and in medicinal plasters. It is a strong adhesive. The turpentine is a waterproofer and wood preservative. An essential oil from the leaves of Norway spruce is used in perfumery. The seed contains 30% of a fatty oil that is used in the production of a varnish. Both the bark and bark extract have been widely used in Europe as a source of tannin. Norway spruce trees are fairly wind resistant and fast growing, so they can be planted in shelter belts. The timber is valuable, being durable underwater and light in weight and colour. It's useful for general carpentry, joinery, and making musical instruments. It's also used to make paper. Douglas fir, Pseudotsuga menziesii, also known as the Rocky Mountain Douglas fir. This beautiful Christmas tree with the weird genus name is native to the Rocky Mountains of Western North America, from Canada to California. You can eat the inner bark, the young shoot tips, and a sweet manna-like substance that exudes from the bark. You can make tea with the young leaves and twigs, and possibly use the resin as a chewing gum. For native North American Indian tribes, Douglas fir's products have many medicinal uses, such as for treating wounds, burns, broken bones, coughs, colds, and sore throats, stomach aches, bowel and bladder problems, athlete's foot, and gingivitis. In addition, the bark gives you tannin and a light brown dye, and it can be used as a cork substitute. The Plants for a Future website tells us that the bark contains pitch. It burns with a lot of heat and almost no smoke, so it's prized as a fuel. The roots, when small, have been used to make baskets. Douglas fir has insecticidal properties, and a resin tapped from the trunk is used in the manufacture of glues, candles, and as a cement for microscopes and slides, as a fixative in soaps and perfumery, and as a caulking material for boats. Douglas fir timber dries quickly, does not warp, and is easily worked. It is used for heavy construction, telegraph poles, furniture, etc. Monterey pine. Pinus radiata, the Monterey pine or radiata pine, is Australia's most popular Christmas tree, though it's a native of North America, coming from a narrow stretch of coast in Southern California and two small islands off the coast of Mexico. This species was added to the world's botanical knowledge by an Irish botanist, Dr. Thomas Coulter, in the early 1830s when he visited California aboard a sailing ship. It was originally named Pinus insignis, or remarkable pine, because it is suited to a considerable range of growing conditions, it is easily planted and grown, and it provides larger yields of usable timber in a shorter time than many other trees. Woodworkers like working with Monterey pine timber because it holds nails well and can be stained or sawn easily. Even though it is technically a softwood, Monterey pine timber is harder and denser than many hardwoods, such as poplar. Because of all its advantages to human beings, Monterey pine is now one of the most widely grown timber species in the world. Plantations of it cover millions of hectares in New Zealand, Chile, Australia, and Spain. In favourable climates, the trees grow much taller than they did in their native land. Monterey pines were introduced to Australia in the early 1850s, possibly via gold miners coming from the California gold rushes to the Australian gold fields. They've become naturalised in the southern and eastern parts of Australia, particularly near forestry plantations, to the extent that they are now considered an environmental weed of roadsides, urban bushland, open woodlands, disturbed sites and waste areas. Authorities encourage the removal of individual plants beyond plantations, but the beauty of the pines and their usefulness as windbreaks means that some old remnant pine belts remain standing in the early 21st century due to popular demand. According to Huxley's The New RHS Dictionary of Gardening 1992, you can extract a vanillin flavouring as a byproduct of resins from the pulpwood of Monterey pine. It sounds like a lot of trouble to take to get a condiment that tastes like vanilla, but it's a wonderfully obscure fact for people who love collecting obscure facts. You can also get terps from Monterey pine, as you can from all pines. The Plants for a Future website lists some of the medicinal uses of Monterey pine terps. You can also get a tan or green dye from the needles. Here at Mill Cottage, we use the fallen needles of Monterey pines as a mulch for our blueberry plants. The advantages are twofold. The needles contain a substance called terpene that is released when rain washes over the needles. It prevents the germination of some plants, including grasses and other weeds. The pine needles are not only a weed suppressant, they also acidify the soil, which blueberries love. Our blueberry plants thrive when well mulched with pine needles. Making a Christmas wreath. If you have access to a tree in the pine family, you can use the branches to make a Christmas wreath. A decorative assortment of flowers, leaves, fruits, twigs, and so on formed into a circle. Advent wreaths and Christmas wreaths are made with evergreen branches to represent everlasting life. The circular shape is also symbolic, with no beginning and no end. The difference between the two is that Advent wreaths are displayed on stands or placed on tables, while Christmas wreaths are usually hung on doors or walls. Advent wreaths are also associated with light and Saint Lucia, so unlike Christmas wreaths, they have candles stuck into them. Both kinds of wreath are sweetly pine-scented and can be decorated with pine cones, red berries such as holly berries, ribbons, dried orange slices or cinnamon bark, metallic baubles, homemade dough ornaments or gingerbread man cookies. For attaching the decoration to the basic wreath's form, You'll need some flexible wire, such as green florist's wire or twine if you prefer. You'll also need some sharp scissors or pliers to cut it. Long-nosed pliers are best because they can reach into tight crevices. To hang your wreath, you will need some fishing line or raffia or ribbon and some picture hooks. Wear gloves as protection against sticky sap and prickly pine needles. Making the wreath. The basic wreath shape is made of entwined bundles of small cedar, pine, or fir branches. Select branches that are supple and pliable enough to be formed into a tight enough circle for your wreath without breaking. Purists would make wreaths without using any wire, starting with a circle made of willow or grapevine. But honestly, it's a lot easier to make a wreath if you buy or make a basic sturdy wire circle to start with. This holds your branches in place. You can buy what's called a wreath form from craft stores. If you'd rather make one, try bending an old heavy-duty wire coat hanger into a circle and fasten it with wire or twine. Assemble all your supplies. Lay the first pine branch against the wreath form, matching the curve of the branch, if any, to the curve of the form. Fasten it at the top of the form by wrapping wire around it, then wrap it again halfway down, making sure to pull the branch tightly against the form. Tuck the end of the second branch underneath the first, so the foliage hides it. Repeat this all the way around, fastening each branch to attach it tightly to the form. After you've finished covering the whole form with branches, add smaller branches as necessary to fill in any gaps. You might not even need to wire or glue them in because pine needles kind of grab and hold them. Next, add your other decorations in groups of odd numbers. Attach hanging wire at the back and your wreath is finished. If you hang it outdoors in cold climates, your wreath could last for months. If it's indoors, spritz it occasionally with a spray of cool water.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
That's the end of this episode about Christmas trees, their history and their many uses. This is the last episode for the year. The Craftsteaders at Mill Cottage thank you for listening throughout the year. We hope you enjoyed finding out many weird facts, learned some bushcraft skills, and marvelled at the wonderful world of useful plants. Happy Christmas, Kwanzaa, Omisoka, Hanukkah, Yuletide, Saturnalia, Festivus, and Solstice holidays to all. The Craftsteading Podcast was hosted by me, Sally Gardens, and produced at Mill Cottage, the little house on the peninsula. This episode was produced and edited by me, Sally Gardens. See videos and photos on Instagram at littlehouse.onthepeninsula and search Craftsteading on YouTube. Thank you for listening.